Alex. Alex, it's 7 a.m.
I don't care what time it is, nurse. Leave me alone.
Alex.
I don't care.
A woman phoned you last night. Said it was urgent. I told you couldn't be disturbed. She left a message. Tell Alex that D. Mitchell phoned. D.T. Mitchell, I think she said. Tell Alex that D. phoned and to beware of Conrad. He doesn't work for the BBC. I'm not sure what this means, but this was the message. He doesn't work for the BBC. He's an agent. What sort of an agent? I don't know.
Cordoba by Nigel Baldwin, with Alison Steadman as D.T. Mitchell.
Down there, you're going to have a tranquilizer dart in your backside otherwise. Calm down.
You bastard.
Alex?
She's all right. She's all right. Overwrought, that's all.
I was supposed to be a sports reporter, but things were getting a little confusing. I felt sorry for her, yes, given what had happened, her background, but I'd come all the way to Milford Haven to impress on her again the importance of getting in touch if the mysterious D.T. Mitchell, who'd gone to France, contacted her. And so far, all I'd got was abuse. Suddenly, I wasn't working for the BBC. I was the manifestation of spy catcher. I virtually had to haul her downstairs to the telephones.
Here, take it. Take the receiver, don't you?
Newsroom. Hello? BBC Cardiff Newsroom.
Ask for me?
Comrade! Is Comrade there?
Comrade Death? No, he's out on an assignment at the moment. Milford Haven. Can I take a message?
No. No. What's going on?
I've never seen a dead body before. I went round to a flat. The place had been wrecked. Wasn't your normal kind of burglary.
What are you going to do?
Go and see Thomas.
Thomas?
Someone she got close to over the years.
It's nearly 4 in the morning, Ian.
Under the circumstances, I don't think you'll mind, do you?
Nice garden. It's a friend's house. They look after the garden well. They're away before you ask.
Yian came round to see me as soon as he heard. You weren't here, I gather.
I've been in Milford Haven.
We thought it better it came from us rather than the police.
The police? I doubt it. I don't suppose I was even in her dress book.
If it's any consolation, we all feel bereft.
She talked a lot about you, Thomas.
Your loss is greater, though. I'm sorry.
Do you know what she did? What she really did?
How do you mean?
I'm not sure. I guess I didn't really know her. It's as if her job were a cover. Nothing quite fits. When did it happen?
Midnight. Night before last. She'd drunk too much, I'm afraid. I dropped her off in a taxi, but for some reason she had to go out again. The brakes failed, but if she'd been sober, she might have been able to keep control. Hit a tree through the windscreen.
Too pissed to put the seatbelt on.
Yes, I'm sorry.
What's on this?
I don't know. She brought it back from France. I didn't listen to it. She asked me not to, and I wouldn't betray her trust. I think there's something personal to you. I'm not the type to open other people's mail. You know she found her flat had been ransacked that night.
Yeah, I said.
Well, maybe that was what someone was looking for. It was for you if anything happened to her, she said. Why should she think something was going to happen to her?
Well, thanks. And bye.
Yes?
She knew she was in danger. Some journalists put themselves in that position. Does it give you a high?
I don't know. I'm a sports reporter. Didn't she tell you that? You were her therapist.
Do you think her brakes were rigged? The police said brakes do fail from time to time. Whatever's on that tape, I don't want to know. Putting your attention on things fuels the fire, kindles the flame.
Don't you have any curiosity?
What good is curiosity? You kill a fire by denying it oxygen.
Ignore it, and it'll go away.
Sometimes.
And then he was through the creosoted gate and down the lane between the gardens, leaving me clutching the cassette. The last words of D.T. Mitchell I was ever going to hear.
Je vous dis à de l'argent. Aurez-vous acheté une voiture? Non, bien sûr. À bientôt.
That's Philippe, the local eccentric. I never met any of Stephen's family.
Yes, Gary, he said on the phone.
Didn't talk about you much. I saw a photo when you were younger, before you were married. This will be your fourth kid, you say?
Yep.
And hell with overpopulation.
My mother...
What's she doing giving you his address book?
I'm his sister.
I should have it.
Oh, sure. But that's how I got your number.
You tell your mum about Stephen?
Of course not.
She'd die, he said. The fewer people knew, the better. Personally, I'm not bothered.
He told me years ago, but then we were very close.
Stephen didn't think so.
Well...
Mind you, sisters are always claiming your affections.
Look, if you don't want to talk to me...
We met in France, in this very bar. I teach English generally, but it was the Easter holidays and I was working here serving behind the counter. I like to slug it. Their team and supporters were over, 3 and a bit years ago.
Well, you can't have seen each other that often.
It was a monogamous relationship. These days it has to be. He got bored with the rugby tours pretty quickly, but it was a good reason to come over. Cover, he called it. He didn't watch many of the games. He came over other times, but he was always a bit nervous someone would see him. Stupid. I think you get paranoid when you're working in top security.
How often did you go and stay with him?
Well, I could. Twice a year. So, what's all this crap about his death being suspicious?
I have a journalist friend. She's been piecing things together. She thinks his, Turner's and Jenny's deaths were linked.
You've not got a tape recorder in your bag or anything?
No, why?
I'm not getting myself into trouble for anyone.
Have a look.
If you're going back to talk to journalists...
I promise you, Gary, I won't tell anyone
because
anything.
Because I deny everything. As far as the authorities are concerned, I've never even heard of Stephen Davis.
Satisfied? I've got to know for myself. He was my brother. And you've got something to tell me, otherwise you wouldn't have asked me to come.
Yeah, okay. Stephen's paranoia is infectious. Like the viruses he was working on.
What viruses? Stephen knew there'd been a raid on Winton Abbey by the Animal Liberation...
Of course! Some of the animals weren't recovered for a few days. No scientist is that stupid. Irresponsible, maybe, but not stupid.
Irresponsible?
The raid was hushed up. Those that knew never said anything. How did you find out? Your journalist friend again?
Did you approve of Stephen saying nothing about the raid?
The poor chappie was castrated by the Official Secrets Act and the Medicines Act, wasn't he, darling? Because he doesn't want to lose his job.
Did you know what he was researching?
I sure did, honey. Not because I have a technical mind, I'm a linguist, but because it was so obscure, lovey. His company had a $3 million contract from that friendly hamburger chain in the high street, the US Defense Department, to research a virus which causes Red Valley fever.
What?
Red Valley fever. It affects people and cattle in the Middle East. 3 million smackers. Lovely bubbly.
Why should the US Defense Department...
Altruism, Dillis. For the benefit of mankind. Altruism. It couldn't be for anything else, surely. No, I hear you say not to inoculate American soldiers who might go out there to fight. No.
All right.
Or to use as a biological agent.
Is this the sort of pillow talk you two engaged in?
There's more to a relationship than the physical side, dearie. I would have thought you should know that, married with your fourth child on the way.
So Official Secrets didn't apply when he was with you?
Never applies to legovers. Ever heard of Matahari?
He was working on this virus.
I thought you wanted to know about the circumstances surrounding his death, not what he did to earn his ackers. You sound more like a journalist than a lot of journalists I know. What do you do for a living?
I work part-time at a school for handicapped kids. Look, Stephen meant a lot to me. I just want...
I'm sorry. All right. Stephen and two colleagues who are also dead, my goodness, a plague of it, We're genetically engineering this virus, mutations of it, and injecting it into that stuff that ends up on your table with Yorkshire pudding. Or if you're really heartless, ends up on your table as veal.
God.
That's right, big sister of Stephen, the cattle that got released by the animal rights mob. It was when children in West Wales started showing sinister symptoms a year later that Stephen got suspicious. A kind of meningitis, they said, but Stephen knew what it was.
But how did he make the connection if it was a year later?
The symptoms were pretty rare. By the time the fourth child had died, he was convinced. The first children to be infected were kids in nearby farms drinking unpasteurised milk, working with animals that had come into contact with the ones released.
This is only conjecture.
Of course it's only conjecture. There's not going to be any evidence, is there? Because there's not going to be anyone left to give any. I'm sorry. Then Jenny got ill, and he decided...
Worked out that she'd been on the raid.
Yes.
She got ill a year after. Didn't she get ill when she was bitten?
How did you know she was bitten?
But my friend, of course... She's made contact with the animal rights group. That's why I'm here, because of what my friend told me.
Doesn't your friend want to see me? If you tell her any of this...
She doesn't know Stephen had a boyfriend. Stephen was living with Jenny Donaldson, after all. She thinks they were an item. I won't, Gary, I promise.
I don't know if Jenny got ill when she got bitten. She may have. I do know she was seriously ill a year later. And it was only then, when kids were dying, that Stephen could put two and two together and suss that what Jenny had got
was what the kids had got.
And, of course, being friends with Turner, and Turner being Jenny's lover, Stephen told him. Guilt, I suppose, more than anything. And then, guess what?
Turner told her doctor.
Don't be an innocent, Dillis. Turner blackmailed him. His friend. Oh, screw the social conscience. Never mind kids are flaking out. Get some hard evidence off the one person who knows, Stephen, and he has the story of the decade.
How was Stephen blackmailed?
Last rugby tour. Turner had a camera with long-distance lenses for the lot. One day, Stephen and I went into some woods. It wasn't that graphic, but it was enough.
So Turner had these photos.
When he got back from the tour, Stephen heard that the two colleagues working on this project with him were dead. And he just went to pieces.
In what way?
He panicked. He was hysterical. He was phoning me up every day. And from public phone boxes. I didn't deal with it very well.
Meaning?
Well, I said the only thing he could do was go to his employers and come clean. Tell them he was being blackmailed. He did that and then phoned me again. The last call I got, he said he'd come over here to live with me.
Go on.
I told him I didn't want that. I didn't want the relationship to continue. It was all getting too complicated and... Well, because he was afraid, I was afraid. He was beside himself. He said he would kill himself if I didn't want him now. Next thing I heard, he'd driven off a cliff. Jenny rang me. I'm sorry. To tell his sister that... I couldn't even go to his funeral.
Gary, don't give yourself a hard time. You really think he killed himself because of you?
It's just more palatable than the implications of the alternative.
Oh, let's get out of here. I've got a bad taste in my mouth and I don't imagine it's the coffee.
Why go to all that length?
Yes. How many people do we silence to cover up what is simply an indiscretion, albeit with awful consequences, by an American company?
Don't you see? It was partly funded by the American government. It was conducting experiments in Wales because regulations are not so tight and there's no freedom of information. Now, as a result of those experiments, a virus is released that gets into our food chain and kills our children. Not theirs, ours. And how many are going to die before they find a vaccine? Scores? Hundreds? Thousands? Adults as well? We don't know yet. Now, how do you think that's going to affect the special relationship if the public gets to find out? If the outcry is big enough and the public say, we don't want the Yanks and their laboratories, their bases, their airfields, their submarine tracking stations, what's that going to do to NATO?
So the Yanks slap Kildo's wrists, withdraw their funding and cover it up, and we tug our forelocks.
Hallelujah.
What the hell do we need a special relationship for? NATO for? I mean, who is the enemy now?
What? Just what? If HIV wasn't born of green monkeys or whatever they say, what if it wasn't an organism of evolution, but was created in a laboratory? I wonder about this quite a lot. Many of my friends have died. I mean, if someone was found out to be culpable, what would the consequences be?
Except that even I know they've traced the AIDS virus back to about 1945, before DNA was discovered, before genetic engineering.
They say they have. Disinformation is a highly developed skill of the industrialized world. I'm sorry. What are you going to do if you think your brother's been murdered?
What can I do? If you disapproved of what he was doing, the morality of it, how could you bear to have a relationship with him?
I fancied him. There was no morality until he died.
Thomas Jones?
Thomas, it's Conrad. That tape you gave me...
Was it useful?
Yes, it sort of was, sort of. But there are some loose ends I'm going to have to clear up. You said you didn't hear it.
No.
Do you know, were there any copies?
She'd just come back from France. Someone was following her. She was going to make some copies the next day, and then... Well, I suppose you can do that.
Did she say anything?
Such as?
The person she went to see in France, where he lived, what his surname was.
It was a he, was it? I told you I didn't listen to it. Why?
I might need to ask him something.
I tell you what she did say that last evening in the pub we always used to meet in years ago when I was drinking, before I took up my present profession.
Yes, what did she say?
She said...
You, Thomas, with all your esoteric aspirations, do you really believe there is the possibility of some form of redemption?
What?
I wasn't sure what she was driving at. I asked her what she wanted.
Oh, I want a lot of things. I want to get off this appalling, narrow-minded island. I want to live in Spain and take Charlene there. And I want to make real peace with my husband before he goes to Argentina. He's got a job out there and Charlene's going to be with me.
Is this relevant, Thomas?
I want forgiveness. I want to believe in the capacity to love, in positive energies and forces for the common good.
I thought you might like to know what was on her mind before she died. You had a relationship.
It was very young.
In the never-never land.
I said it didn't have to be a never-never land. Changing one's life for the better is only as far away as making the effort.
Look, I want to know if she said anything else about the bloke she went to see in France.
People can always change. Development is always possible. No man is an island. Don't you agree, Conrad?
Thomas!
It all sounds so clichéd.
You get what you give.
Sort of glib.
Honesty on an inner level pays off.
What are you giving her, a sermon?
Maybe that's because it's universal.
In the end, it's your choice.
So what?
It's what we last talked about. I thought you'd like to know.
I wish I hadn't gone back to the hospital, but it was an act of desperation. One of the last calls she had made was to the duty nurse on Alex's ward.
Yes, I was on duty. It was about midnight.
I needed to know if there'd been any hint as to where Dee had gone.
I just took a simple message, that's all. I didn't even know she'd been in France.
Don't talk to that bastard! He's a liar!
There was our little clairvoyant with the pale face and the jutting jaw in a wheelchair, being pushed around the grounds by an orderly. Why a wheelchair, I wondered.
She refuses to walk.
What are you doing here? You didn't come to see me, that's for sure. You liar!
Alex, shut your mouth.
No, it's okay.
This is Mr. Conrad, that trustworthy sports reporter from the BBC. Oh, he'll make grandstand any day now.
Hello, Alex.
This is Bonzo, my orderly. He wheels me around and makes sure I don't jump over any cliffs. They're driving me mad. I expect the theme from Desert Island Discs any second. How's Dee? She's dead, isn't she? This man's a liar, Bonzo. He doesn't work for the BBC.
I'm a reporter, Alex.
You dialed that number the other day. I didn't. That could have been any number. I phoned the BBC to get in touch with you. I wanted to know where Dee was, why she hadn't got in touch. They'd never heard of you.
Perhaps you got the wrong number.
They never heard of you.
I'm a reporter, Alex.
They never
heard
of you. All heard of you.
Alex,
no,
come on, then, Alex.
I left her to convalesce, to recover or not, as the case may be. I knew she knew. Maybe she could see things. Didn't she say Dee's car would crash? But it didn't matter. Beyond the fact that the British Broadcasting Corporation wasn't my employer, she had nothing else. Besides, I really was a reporter. That was what I did. Report back. Though not to a newspaper. To a man who actually did sit on a bench in St. James's Park behind Whitehall, munching his sandwiches from a lunchbox.
Rushed! Newspapers are bad for my blood pressure.
I called him HBP, high blood pressure, or Brad, because he liked cricket and wanted to retire to Australia. His real name was Smith.
Put me right off me lunch. Now help yourself, it's corned beef.
No thanks, I don't eat meat.
Bloody Guardian. Even its cricket reporting leans to the left like an outswinger to the right-hand bat. How the bloody hell did it get out?
I told you, this therapist, Thomas, he gave me the tape. He said there were no copies. He must have listened to it, made some, sent it to the press. He made his living merchandising the spiritual benefits of inner honesty. She once told me he was incapable of lying.
I didn't take you for naive.
We can pay him a visit if you like.
Well, there's hardly much mileage in that. Here are the allegations. Any constructive purpose in keeping people strapped shut? We are not primitives, Dayath. It's hardly a national security issue now. Front bloody page for the second day running. How does a second-rate provincial journalist...
Second-rate,
just
maybe,
happen to discover the leak of a genetically engineered virus from a laboratory in West Wales which might be responsible for the deaths of several children? And an American laboratory at that. Given to her on a plate, was it? How did she find out? Jesus Christ! It's your job to quash rumours and put anybody off the scent. And look at it. You going soft?
I tried.
What? By seeking sexual gratification?
I had to get her confidence.
With your reproductive organs?
I gave her as many false leads as I dared. Had swastikas painted on her car, threatened her in the name of Calf. She was unusually tenacious.
And when all else fails?
I did as much as I could.
Now you had her car tampered with.
It was suggested.
You people. How did you feel when you saw her in the mortuary?
Her husband identified the body, thank Christ. Can't stand the sight of dead meat, let alone trout on a dinner plate upsets me.
God, I hate being a whore for America.
They're asking questions in the House today.
The Americans? What? They've overtaken our most cherished institution now, have they?
Members of Parliament.
You're telling me? I do keep informed, you know. Well, they can ask you any questions they like. We can fudge it. The US government made Kildo International shut up shop. We will deny they've ever heard of the Red Valley virus, let alone allowed unlicensed work to be done on it. Oh, the mess. All it does to the special relationship is anyone's guess, let alone HMG. Right. This country. Every apple tastes the same. Pesticides, genetic engineering, intensive farming. Disgusting. It's the second session on the first day of the third test. We're doing really well against the tourists. Sun is blazing down, and I have to sit in some damp, history-laden vault and explain this fiasco.
Well, maybe I'll go to the Commons and listen to the Minister's statement.
Yes, you do that. Of course, the irony is that this revelation, this broadsheet speculation for the evidence is very circumstantial. This story has rendered all those fatalities rather meaningless, and therefore we have caused an awful lot of grief for nothing. Have a nice day. What? Under the circumstances, I would have thought you would have appreciated the irony. Goodbye.
And off he waddled, tuning his personal stereo to Test Match Special. At least there was something good happening in this country. Pakistan were 3 down for 37 on the first day of the third test at Old Trafford. And all was possibly well with the world.
Will the minister confirm or deny that the biotechnology and the genetic research carried out at Winton... Abbey was threatened by an animal welfare group who carried out a raid which was then covered up?
To my knowledge, no such raid on Winton Abbey ever took place! I must remind the Honourable allegations are unsubstantiated. May be coincidental and unrelated.
Thomas Jones.
We did it, Thomas. We did it.
We certainly did.
I've just seen the English papers.
It's causing a rumpus in Parliament. It's on television right this minute.
Well done, you old bugger, you.
Well done yourself. Everyone all right?
Everyone's fine. You?
Splendid.
I'll be in touch.
Charlene, play properly. Don't push Manolo around. He's smaller than you.
Don't fuss, Yian. They're inseparable. That's the way kids play.
Of course, you're the expert.
Oh, Yian.
Sorry.
Last drink for a month. Woo! I'm going on the wagon.
I must have deja vu. I could have sworn I'd heard that before.
Never. Mother?
Just a smidgen, darling. It's early.
Cheers.
Cheers, Yian. Here's to Argentina.
You know, for all our differences, for all our arguing, I have never been so relieved as when I saw it wasn't you on that mortuary slab.
You say the nicest thing. There's a moral there somewhere. If you want a joyride, don't nick cars whose brakes have been tampered with. I feel sorry for the girl. I bet she just went along because her boyfriend persuaded her.
Go on, blame the men.
He was driving!
Would you have driven it, Denise, if it had been there, if it hadn't been stolen?
That's the way kids play, is it?
Oh, go and sort them out, Yian. I haven't got the energy. Besides, you're going tomorrow. Spend some time with her.
I have been for the last four... Charlene?
Would you have driven it, Denise?
Nice balcony, Mum. Nice view. Definitely a better flat than the last one.
Denise?
Yes, Mum. I probably would have done.
Oh, Denise.
There was a lot at stake and I was furious. And you don't think your brakes have been fiddled with?
You drank too much.
I felt very unclean.
What?
I had a boyfriend.
I don't understand. I don't understand any of it.
Yian saw it wasn't me in the mortuary, so he came round to the flat to see if I was all right. I wasn't there, but he saw the place had been wrecked. He decided to get in touch with Thomas. As it happened, I'd got a cab round to Thomas's to get this tape.
Which tape?
It doesn't matter, Mother. We decided it'd be better and safer if this man Conrad thought I was dead. We made some copies of the tape and I came out here. I suppose if Conrad had bothered to check with the police, he would have found out the truth. But why should he bother?
What are you going to do out here, Denise? Charlene and all?
Charlene will go to an English school in Madrid. I'll draw.
Denise?
Mom, I went to Nicaragua to draw. I survived for 2 years by teaching English. I've done it once. So I can do it again.
I think your fantasy of being another Picasso...
Picasso was a man. Try someone like Gwen John.
It's a pipe dream.
Life's an adventure. Go for it. You've got to believe in the possibility for change, for growth, or at least mutation.
Pardon?
It was a joke about the meaning of the word.
What word?
Cordoba.
Cordoba? Have you been there? It's a nice place, but it gets very hot in the summer.
I imagine it does, Mother. I imagine it does.
In the final episode of Cordoba by Nigel Baldwin, Alison Steadman was Dee and Bill Stewart, Conrad. Leslie Rooney was Alex, Andrew Wincott, Gary, and Alan Towner, Thomas. Robert Pugh was Yean, Sue Jones-Davis, Bethan, and Ivor Roberts, Smith. Marie Phillips played the nurse and Lormarie Champion was Mrs. Mitchell. Original music was by Laurie Scott Baker. Cordoba was directed in Wales by Jane Dauncey.